Welcome back to the Make Time for Success podcast. I'm Dr. Christine Lee, and this is episode number 153. If you are often struggling with how to make decisions, or if you feel like there might be something missing in the way you think about things, or if you're just plain interested in connecting with yourself and your intuition on a deeper, closer level, then this episode was tailor-made for you. I had so much fun interviewing my special guest today, Peter Williams. He is filled with so many different wonderful stories that he shares with us, stories from his life that he manages to weave into tales that will help you to understand your life a little bit better. Peter is a conscious living leader. He's a speaker who is known internationally, and he is the author of Searching Spirit. He brings a modern and refreshing feel to these conversations that will deliver inspiration, insight, and understanding to you. He reminds us all that we are energetic powerhouses who have the ability to live consciously and in flow when we just feel connected with our soul and with the energy of the universe. Let's go enjoy this conversation together with Peter now. Hi, I'm Dr. Christine Lee, and I'm a psychologist and a procrastination coach. I've helped thousands of people move past procrastination and overwhelm so they could begin working to their potential. In this podcast, you're going to learn powerful strategies for getting your mind, body, and energy to work together so that you can focus on what's really important and accomplish the goals you want to achieve. When you start living within your full power, you're going to see how being productive can be easy and how you can create success on demand. Welcome to the Make Time for Success podcast. Hello, my friends. I am laughing right now. I am laughing because I have been chatting with my special guest today, Peter Williams, for a good 40 minutes prior to pressing record. We probably should have pressed record a little bit earlier, but we're all good. I am so grateful to have Peter here as a knowledgeable, inspirational powerhouse of a guest today. And I'm just going to give the mic over to him because he's, among other things, a professional speaker. So welcome to the show, Peter.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you for the chat and the laughter before.
Thank you too. Please let our listeners know a little bit about you and get us started.
Sure, no problem. So giving you the short version, it's pretty much that. So I am a professional speaker, and my absolute passion and purpose is to help connect people with themselves. And that's why, so my flagship program is called Inner Power. Yes, some people might say it's a bit corny or a bit cheesy, but it really is what it's about. And it's about, ultimately what I say to people is that it's a conscious living program. But even with that, a lot of people don't understand what that really is. And the simple way to say that for people and your listeners is that so many of us are walking around on autopilot and being run by, as you would know, our subconscious programs that have just been running. And it's no different. It's like running or working with a computer that is outdated and it's just doing the bare minimum to keep itself going. And that's not what we're here for. So I've had the absolute privilege and honor of working and being connected very closely. Like, I am a channel, so I work as a psychic medium for a number of years. I've had the privilege of working on stage, speaking to hundreds of thousands of people and helping them to understand that there is more to life than what's just in front of us and like living the day-to-day, the 9-to-5 or paying the bills and paycheck to paycheck. It's more about if we embrace that and we start to connect with ourselves more, we will start to be more inspired and we actually attract more happiness and that more abundance into our lives. So that's ultimately what I do.
I love what you do. And what we've been chatting about for the past 40 minutes has not been about what Peter just said. remotely connected, absolutely, always. Absolutely. But I can't wait to dig in deeper into what got you to be this guide for people to be more conscious in the way they live. Could you bring us back to maybe the beginning point for you or a time where you feel that this all started for you?
Well, that goes way back. So realistically, where I kind of pinpoint as a significant change for myself was I was about 12 or 13 years of age. And at that point, it was more of a case. And this is one of those things, even to this day, I still cannot explain why. It was just the whole fact of I was looking for something more. I knew that there was more going on than just school. I knew there was more than going on of like just being at home or playing the PlayStation. Even back then, I was fortunate enough, I had the good old, and some of you might recognize this, I had the 56K dial-up modem, the old, and if someone picks up the phone, you lose your internet connection, those good old days. But, I went looking and I found some exercises around meditation. And it was through learning meditation, the very first moment or the first night that I tried it, I connected and all of a sudden there was this beautiful kind of energy and connection around, and it just opened up this floodgate of connecting to more than what was in my current life that my eyes and my ears could perceive. And from that, it's just been such an integral part of me. It was like I found me for the first time. And I, for a lot of people, and a lot of times when I do speak to people about it, I do liken it to kind of coming out of a spiritual closet, so to speak, because when you have this fount of belief and you start talking about something that's a little bit more beyond yourself, it's not an easy topic to talk about because, some people will look at you funny. Some people will not even just look at you funny. Some people will give you the scowl look, going, what are you talking about? Like, so it's a very, very tricky thing. But what was even more important, it was just a hobby for me for the teenage years. So it wasn't anything massive, but I just loved it. It was a great thing where no different to my two loves is energy, spirituality, and fishing. So I was doing between the both. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s, I moved to Japan to go and work in Japan. And when I was there, this part of me just jumped up so much because it was the first time in my life that I had no one that I knew around me in my everyday life. I didn't have my family. Don't get me wrong, I love my family, but I didn't have my family. I didn't have friends that I've grown up with. This was like a brand new clean slate that I could work with. And it was because of that, I was like, and I remember so vividly having this moment, this epiphany moment going, you know what? Bugger this. I'm literally going to, this is such a big part of me. I'm going to tell people that this is what I do and this is one of my interests. Why should I hide this? And it was, I was, constantly, at the bar, as you do when you're an expat, you find, your own little tribe when you do. And it was me because it was always kind of people coming and going because that was the place that it was. But it was. And when people would start to ask, I do this. And it was great. I felt so empowered at that point at such a young age to kind of go, it's nice to know if people don't like that about me, they'll take themselves away out of my circle. The people who did, they would actually come closer. And that for me, like at that point, was such a big moment to realize I had to be my true authentic self. And because that way I'd have the good, true, authentic people around me. Because if I was hiding or I was pretending, then I've got people around me who are doing the exact same thing. So they were the two big epiphany moments that really kind of got me going on this path. Then to become the speaker that I am today, that was not planned. If you had have asked me when, going back 10 years ago that this is what I'd be doing or even speaking with you on a podcast or even meeting you, in Phoenix, Arizona in April, those things are like, was never on my radar. Was not even on my radar. And it was literally universe saying what they had to say because most of you would have been aware of the Fukushima earthquake back in 2011. You remember that
mm-hmm.
one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was there and my house, so we still have our house in Japan. So my lovely wife is Japanese and our house is only 60 kilometers away from that nuclear power plant that had the meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to evacuate. And so we literally, like, and my wife at the time was 36 weeks pregnant.
Oh, wow.
We had to evacuate back to Australia and we had to start again. I mean, everything again. We lost everything over there in terms of whatever else. Starting a family, my wife had to leave her family because it was just there, you know. And that was hard. The beautiful thing was it was just through good people that I knew, this journey of helping people just kind of started to eventuate. And I just had the chance and it provided for me. And since then, it's kind of grown. And here we are today, like, you know, get to speak about it and share that journey. And it's just, I had that experience and I know other people have that experience. And if we lean into that, I just say we find so much more about ourselves. And rather than seeing as adversity, we've got to see it as opportunity. And that's a big part of, again, where it comes out in a power, understanding what's in front of us, yeah, learning the different perspective on things. And that's a big thing. So that's the short version and the three big events that have really led me up to where I am today.
Thank you for describing those for us and to us. I feel like I have a sense of how you know yourself so well with the depth of those three events. Any one of them would be enough, but you had multiple moments of really having to see yourself and be yourself in a very true, open way.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing all of that. I found myself thinking at the point where you said, when you were yourself, you attracted the people who were like you. And it made me wonder what you think about what the reasons are that people don't do that more, that people don't reveal themselves more openly, maybe even though they might feel like they want to, so that they can attract the people that they really need or that they can really connect with on a deeper level.
Yeah, look, it's a great question. And the simple answer to that question is one word, and it's fear. It is just pure and utter fear. And look, don't get me wrong, like this challenge of being honest with yourself is a daily battle. Well, I don't even say it about it. It's just a challenge because you have to always kind of going, is this right for me? Is this not right for me? That is one of the absolute keys to where I found myself today is if I'm honest with myself, I find my life gets easier. And it's just the fear. The reason why people don't do it is where it's the fear, and it's not fear of us. It's actually the fear of what's around us and losing what we have. And, you know, we could get a little bit too philosophical here, but I'll try not to go too deep, too quick. But, you know, when we have that around us, whether it be like friends, family, it could be job, work, career, all these particular things, but we can get quite attached to those things. And what happens is, and as you would know, like we start to use those avenues and those objects and, you know, people and titles to define who we are. And so we take them and then we put them on ourselves. But what we've done is we've just added a layer to ourselves that's actually not ours. And that kind of comes back to what we talked about 40 minutes about beforehand. But it's just like we take these layers on and, you know, that's where sometimes we'll run into trouble. And all of a sudden, it's a layer after a layer after a layer that's not ours. And we will lose that greater sense of who we truly are. And that's what makes it so difficult because all of a sudden, it's a protection almost. And we might say, it's a protection. But ultimately, what I've learned is it becomes an excuse not to go within. And it's just the fear. And the biggest fear for a lot of people is actually losing the people in their circle. That is the biggest fear. You could say, yes, it's a fear of judgment, or it's a, you know, you might say it's a fear of like losing, but it is. It's just like, but the thing is, what I noted was that you need to create space in order to gain what you truly want and need in your life. And you got to think about it. It is no different. If we had the room right now, like full of unnecessary clutter, you know, or, and we all, let's face it, everyone knows at least one person who has a house that's like going, there's a bit too much stuff around, you know. The hallway's got boxes of clothes that you've never worn for 5 years in it. Or, you know, if you have a look, they've got all the little trinkets that are all dusty on top of the dresser and stuff like that. And you start going, well, what does this mean? What does this do for us? But the whole thing is it takes up space. And if we actually take that away, then we can kind of, and once you see space, you actually create space for your mind to start going, what can I do with this? You know, it's no different. If you know, you take the, like, for your listeners, I've got a nice big kind of print behind me here with you know, rocks and the Zen stones and the sand garden. But when you look at that, you see what you see. But if I said to you, can you add to that? You would struggle because there's already a preconception in your idea. But if that was a blank canvas, your mind could really go wild and go, well, I could do this and I could do that. And so even when it comes to our life, we also have to realize that we are filling up the canvas, but sometimes with unnecessary things or things that don't really serve us. And it's just the fear of letting go and creating that. And I think with fear of being hurt, because let's face it, our mind does not like pain. But the biggest thing is I want to say is, and I love this because this was a beautiful message that was given to me that I pass on to a lot of my audiences, is that the universe does not want to create pain for us. However, they said the reason it does is because it's the only time that we actually stop and listen. And when you think about that, I want you all to think about that for a second. Like, when you are in pain, it really is. It's the only time that you will stop yourself and reflect on everything that's going on around you immediately. You stop becoming the human doing. You start to be being. You have to be in that moment because you're hurting and you have to do what's necessary to take care of you. And so sometimes that is letting go of things. So it's a big thing. The fear is a huge, huge battle and it's a challenge, but it's always going to be there. And I just encourage everyone to at least work through it or have a go at it because the rewards are worth it.
I love this. I'm eating up every word and I absolutely agree with everything that Peter has said. I particularly agree with the loss part, that there's a fear of loss. And as you were describing the whole setup, I was thinking loss. It's really the big scary thing that once you attach yourself to something, an idea, a person, a job, a layer of yourself, it feels too scary or too new to consider an alternative, to consider living in a different way. And now I want to borrow everything that you just said in your brain to talk about the topic of procrastination, because you know that is my area of curiosity. And you make me think procrastination is one of these pretty strange events where people will stick with the pain despite knowing that there must be something else. Some people, I think, don't, but I think a lot of people do. So what are your thoughts in general about the procrastinator, about that particular mystery of why we do procrastination to ourselves for so long?
Well, I think the first thing to help everyone with the good old procrastination word is, like, we all suffer it. And I swear my middle name is procrastinator in there somewhere. And so is my daughter's, the GA. I actually used to call her procrastinator and she goes, stop calling me that, just to prove a point. But we all do it. But what it boils down to is, let's face it, what things do we procrastinate with? Now, that's something that you can all do right now. Just have a quick thought about that and go, and we're all guilty of it, right? I don't think there's a human being that's not guilty of it at some point. And you know what? The thing is, we look at procrastination and we know it's a time killer. We know it can rob us of a lot of time and progress, so to speak. But when we have a good look at what are we procrastinating about, it's a big thing. And usually the first thing that most people can relate to is just the stuff that's really what I call mundane. It's the everyday grind stuff. Like, let's face it, paying bills, right? There's a big one that everybody can. Like, I have to pay the bills. You know, it's like, I've got to get that done because there's no massive reward in that. Unless you're going to sit there, yes, you could go, I'm grateful to pay my bills today. you know, and whatever else. And I'm like, yes, you might be, but, you know, are you really going to say you're super grateful for paying the tax office and the IRS to do this today? But the whole point is like, but that's because there's no reward in that for us. There's no massive benefit in that for us. And I think that's where it stops us. But I always look at procrastination as a great compass tool. And I look at it as wherever we start to procrastinate, where our mind starts to do that, it's letting us know that this is not our thing. This is not leading us towards our truer self, like we're talking about, but it's not leading us towards getting connected with our passion. It's not connecting to our purpose. And like we were talking about before, it's like, you know, quick mention of Simon Sinek and his talk about play to your strengths. Because if you do, you're going to enjoy doing it. But that's mean. So, you know, as we were talking about, I said, I'm a speaker and here we are on the podcast. I'd rather do this than sit down and write 5 blogs. I can tell you that right now. And I remember when blogging was the thing and I was there, it would take me all friggin' day to write a single blog. And by the time you post it, you know, a week later it's done and you're going, that's a whole day. And people do not appreciate the time that it took me to do that. But it's the whole thing of like, but again, it wasn't my thing. I did it. I procrastinated because I felt I had to do it for my business at the time. But I think it's a great tool to look at. What is it? Now, of course, there are things that we are always going to have to maintain or get through to survive in life, like paying bills. But I think a great thing, like which you and I can relate with, is business. And, you know, in business in particular, especially when you are the entrepreneur, you start going, how do I do this? It really highlights massively where your skill sets are, what you do enjoy and what you don't. And I think it's very empowering as the journey we learn is like, if you don't like it, delegate it. We can do that kind of thing. But the great thing is you also learn you can do that in your life too. Because let's face it, we're all here. And this is what it's all talking about. If you can tap into that inner power, you start understanding what is your passion or what excites you. You start to appreciate your time. You start to do things that do that. And that procrastination, you start to learn, well, if I don't like that, let's move that to the side. And that's a big thing. So procrastination is a big one, but I like the fact and I always kind of reflect on it going, let's use that as a tool or a compass to remind you of what is good for you, what you like, what you don't like, and helping you to stay more in the lane on the highway of fun, enjoyment, happiness, rather than bog yourself down in that, you know, that lane that's just slow and arduous and you're stuck in a traffic jam of going, I really should do this. I have to do this. I need to do this. All that lovely language of, you know, have to, got to, need to, should do. Like, that's a crappy lane to be stuck in. But it's just saying to you, and the other thing too is, what's important is people say, oh, I know that, Pete. They might go, Christine, I hear you and I do that all the time, but that doesn't let me know what I do. You've just got to flip that around and then you'll start to see something's there for you. But it's a tool. And if you can start viewing procrastination as a tool, then you're starting to get a little bit closer to you. You're starting to take away those layers because those statements, those procrastinating statements should, have to, need to, got to, they are layers. That's the outside world putting something onto you that is not yours. That's where procrastination starts to sneak in. And if you can start to visualize it that way a little bit, I find it can also help in that way. I hope that makes sense there, Christy.
That was beautiful. I'm going to tuck that away and use that as often as I can when I'm working with people. Thank you for that. Lovely. Well, I think it's a very positive way of looking at procrastination. I tend to note that it's really just a terrible thing to do and understandable, of course, but just like a rotten thing to do to yourself. So I appreciate the fact that you can make something beautiful and useful out of it. I love that. Now I feel curious about the topic of trusting yourself. If you could give us a sense of how you work with your clients and maybe how you speak to your audiences about the issue of developing greater trust in yourself, which of course is related to procrastination and also being authentically you. So I'm thinking this is a good subject to fit in here right now.
No, it is. Look, and the only way, and I'll be interested to hear your take on this one too, actually, Christo. Because for me, like, I'm just naturally intuitive. I'm highly intuitive. And intuition, as much as we all know the word and we kind of, everyone experiences at some point in their life, it's still a hard one to explain to people. It's still hard to explain to kind of go, but I always find if you're really in tune with yourself, hence intuition, in tune with self, like you naturally go with the flow where the energy's at. So that's what I rely on. Like I have, you can only have a certain amount of knowledge and you can have that knowledge mastery, so to speak. And you can say, yes, I know this, I know these tools, whatever else. But I think the magic for me and what I find, and this is the feedback that I get, and I don't mean this in an egotistical way, but it's like, I know for myself that like I could have three different clients all with the technically like the same issue, but the way I'm going to help them is all going to be slightly different. But how that is going to be, I won't know until I start speaking with them and working with them, because I get to know them, not just their headspace, not just their words, because it's their frequency. It's going to be their energy. And with that, I start to go, right. And that's when so many people say, oh my God, I didn't realize that was the issue. I said, no, because I'm getting that, because I can hear your language and your energy is saying all of this. So it comes down to an intuitive factor. But the hard part is, and this is a big part of what I do like to, you know, impart knowledge with people on stage and obviously, you know, within Inner Power, is because what happens is the reason why a lot of people aren't trusting themselves is because every single one of us has a driver at the wheel of your life, and that is called your brain. And that's called your critical thinking brain, as you know, right at the front here. But the trouble is with this driver is that it's reactive. It's completely 100% reactive. It will only ever do something with what it sees. No different to us driving. If you're looking out the windshield and you're seeing the road, you'll move your car according to the environment around you. But as we know, that doesn't help us. And that's what so many of us are living in. And that's why we don't trust ourselves, because we're actually more or less working from a reactive state of mind rather than a positive or a more proactive state of, you know, being. So this is where your intuition kind of comes in, or this deeper part of yourself, you know, whether you want to call it source, soul, whatever. I like to refer it to as the soul, where your intuition resides. It's its own little voice. It overrides you. That everybody's had that gut feeling. Why do we call it a gut feeling? Because it resides somewhere different besides your brain. Because if it was your brain, you would be calling it, did you get that brain feeling? Of course we don't. The brain doesn't feel. So, you know, everything down there is in this, in that space of the body. But the whole thing is down here, and when we have these feelings, I say to people, and the way I explain this to my audiences is, that's your navigator. That's the person. Now, if you think about good old rally driving, where they're actually around on the mountains and they're doing all the, you know, the drifting around the dirt, there's a driver and a navigator. And the driver cannot do anything without the navigator. The only reason why those drivers are so good going around those corners is because the navigator is telling him what corner is coming, which way to turn, and how steep or sharp that turn will be. From there, they can start to preempt what's coming and prepare themselves. If you took those races and didn't have the navigator, there would be a lot more trouble. There'd be a lot more crashes and whatever else. So the whole thing is to get and to trust yourself, you have to get in communication and in sync with your navigator. Your driver and your navigator have to get in sync. But I won't lie, that is one of the hardest things for people to do, because the trouble is your brain, that driver of yours, is so friggin' stubborn that it's like, I've got you thus far. Is it that bad? I'll keep taking you this way. And then all of a sudden, you start to bring the navigator into the scenario. They're going, who are you? Shut up. I know what I'm doing. That's what happens, right? So it's like, I see it with my clients all the time. They're going, I finally got this, but my brain's saying something different. So, because your brain's arguing, your brain is fighting for control all the time. And this is when people start getting into my world a little bit. They start to go, so Pete, how do I know that's me or my brain, or is it something else? I don't know what this is. And it's like, because now you actually have two people in the car. You've got your driver and your navigator. You've got to learn to work out whose voice is who. But over time in practice, these two start to really communicate in sync, and you will have the best rally team in the world that will drive you to success and to every finish line that you want. Procrastination goes out the window, that self-trust goes through the roof, and guess what? You start being happy. You start like enjoying life a little bit more rather than sitting in the seat going, oh my God, which corner? Oh my God, that was too steep. It's like, you know, we're all strapped in for the roller coaster ride of life. And we all feel like we're a passenger, but we're not. And I love it because getting to know ourselves, getting to trust ourselves is a process, but we can all do it. We're all capable of it because let's face it, when we're kids, we just enjoyed life. We really just work with life. And it's just when we get to that age, as we know, that 6, 7, 8 years of age, that part of our brain kicks in and starts saying, you should do it this way, you should do it that way. You know, it's a different space. But if you can learn to listen to that different part of yourself, and the biggest one about that is feeling. Like I said, your brain doesn't feel. We don't say to people, did you have that brain feeling that I had? You know, we never, ever hear that. But you go, oh my God, did you get that gut feeling that something was wrong with that person, or we shouldn't be here today, or something's off, or something's wrong? That's a different language. That's such a different part of ourselves. And we completely underestimate and underutilize that part of ourselves. That is where we have to learn. So for the easiest and just the quickest tip I can give for everyone getting to trust themselves and get connected with themselves, listen and feel more. You have to feel. The more you're in touch with your feelings, you're starting to really talk to your navigator. And the navigator's there. Just how often are you going to listen to it? And this is what I say. I said to a specific group of clients that I work with at the moment, I said, right now I'm helping you to interview your navigator. Because let's face it, what do you want? Do you want a driver? Or if you think of it, let's go Uber. Are you going to hop in an Uber who doesn't have a GPS? Would you honestly let an Uber driver, and you say to them, like, you know, get to your destination and they don't have a GPS? No, of course you wouldn't, right? But the whole thing is you give them an address, they put the map in so they know where they're going. The trouble is most of us are hopping in Ubers in our life without having the destination or having a GPS. That's what your navigator's for. Find your navigator, connect with you. You need to hire the best person on your team. And that's your navigator. So many of us don't know where that is or who it is or what they sound like or feel like, but you can start. But that is a big part of learning to connect with self and find and trust ourselves with that as well.
I love this. If you're watching us on video, which you might do on YouTube, you're going to see me nodding and smiling and learning from Peter. I really love how you tell stories and how your energy is in every description and how you just have a love of putting this all together for people so that they can move themselves a layer forward in their own journey. So yeah. Peter, thank you for sharing your gifts with us and teaching us about intuition and rally driving, which I have never heard of before, honestly. Well,
there's some homework for you. You got to check out some rally driving.
Yeah.
It's an interesting sport because it's an intense one. Like, I'm not a car racer or whatever, but I've never forgotten it because they are constantly in communication with each other and moving so fast and so quick. And it's like when you actually go and check that out, even the smallest of YouTube clips you'll see, and you'll go, if they didn't have each other, there would be accidents. They would not be able to do the race anywhere as quick or as fast as they possibly could. The reason why they go quick is because they've got solid communication with each other. If they didn't, the driver would have to procrastinate, double guess themselves with every single turn and just be reactive. And the race would slow down. They would not have as many people finishing the race. So it's a really, when you really look at that and going, that's what it's like. And the trust that those two people in the car have, my goodness, it is, you see some of them, they're looking at, you can feel the actual energy between them because they're so on point and they know the cues. It's no different to when you have a good friend or something and you know when someone's going to say something, even just by their body language, they're going to, you're thinking this, I'll give you the answer now. It's the same kind of feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, love this. And you know, I'm going to go to YouTube now. but Peter, thank you for the entertainment, the voice imitations, the lessons, and the excitement that you brought to this show and this episode. I really appreciate your friendship and speaking on this show. May you please help us to connect with you further. How can our audience connect with you and work with you and learn more from you?
Yeah, look, you know, of course you can find me on all the usual socials, you know, Facebook, the IG and TikTok and all the rest of it. But you're wanting to work a little bit more closely with what I do. So, you know, we have the awesome like group community program that's Inner Power itself. So it's just Peter Williams Inner Power, but the Inner Power is with the A. So it's INNAPOWA. The reason why the A is because, as you probably see, if you look at the YouTube, we've got the triangle, and the triangle is about that Trinity factor. And that's where it kind of comes in for the A, but it's the, you know, it's Inner Power. And of course, you can come listen to our Inner Power podcast as well for more stuff on along these lines. So you can find us across or find me across all the channels there. But if you want to have a little bit, come and have a look at the website. There's a fair bit there. Take people through this kind of work. You know, there's actually, you know, specific courses if you want to go and learn a bit more specific stuff. And of course, if you're looking to really deep dive, then of course you can join the waitlist for the mentoring, where I help people to really like fast forward and go that deeper a little bit faster and quicker as well.
I love it. Thank you so much. I know you also have a lovely gift for our listeners. Could you describe what that is? And then I'll show them where to go get that.
Yeah, that's right. I love what I said. Then I'll show them. No, it's a beautiful thing. So one of the greatest things is, and this kind of comes to another pivotal moment that happened for me, because I got stuck in the rat race of life. And it was at a point, it was a very, very dark time of my life, because I was just going around in circles. I was on the hamster wheel of life, and I was doing everything right by society standards. And at that point, even though I was doing everything right, I was not moving forward at all. I was actually just chasing my tail. And that really got me down. Young family, restarting, not getting anywhere. So it was a very, very dark time for me. And the thing that really helped to shift that energy, to shift out of that dark space and start to see the world that I actually am in, was through gratitude. And it seems like a simple thing, but a lot of people actually struggle, don't know how to do it. But the whole thing is, gratitude, it's more than gratitude. Gratitude is actually a form of self-love. It's actually a form of nurturing yourself. And as you're saying, learning to trust yourself, or learning to get back to yourself, learning to stop procrastinate. If you can work on gratitude, this will help you. And it's a beautiful starting step. That's all it takes. And so the wonderful thing I'd love to offer your listeners and watchers on YouTube today is like a simple, easy 5-page gratitude journaling starter pack, just to help them get started. So if you're feeling stuck, or you're feeling like at the moment going, you know what, nothing's kind of working for me and I don't know what it is, and your energy is very like scattered all over the show, just come and do this. Give this a go. Do it for like once a day for a week. You will start to feel the change. You'll start to do it. So I'd love and love for your listeners to have a go at that, because honestly, game changer for me, life changer for me. Loved it. And when you really take it seriously, it can and it will help. So I'd love to offer that to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. You can get that at maketimeforsuccesspodcast.com/gratitude. Again, it's maketimeforsuccesspodcast.com/gratitude. And you can always DM Peter and get it in that way as well. Stay connected. Yeah. Please do. Absolutely. Peter, I look forward to seeing you at our next conference event in the States.
Absolutely.
Most likely. And I wish you all the best. And I want to thank you again for being here on the Make Time for Success podcast.
Well, thank you for making time for me. I really, really appreciate it.
All right, everyone. This was a lovely one. Let's stay together. Let's stay connected. And I will see you next week for another episode. Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Make Time for Success podcast. If you enjoyed what you've heard, you can subscribe to make sure you get notified of upcoming episodes. You can also visit our website, maketimeforsuccesspodcast.com, for past episodes, show notes, and all the resources we mention on the show. Feel free to connect with me over on Instagram too. You can find me there under the name Procrastination Coach. Send me a DM and let me know what your thoughts are about the episodes you've been listening to. And let me know any topics that you might like me to talk about on the show. I'd love to hear all about how you're making time for success. Talk to you soon.